You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
There are times in our lives when we need someone to care, someone just to be there. One of these critical periods is at the end of our lives, when we're in hospice. But what if we were told that one who we held very near and dear to our lives was prohibited from being with us? Someone who didn't care what we look like, didn't mind if it was a good day or bad, or even remember their names. What if somebody told you you couldn't have your beloved pet with you when you near your time of passing? Pet Peace of Mind is a nonprofit hospice support group, part of the Banfield Charitable Trust. Diane McGill, the executive director and CEO of the trust, will tell us more about this very special example of the human-animal bond. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, and welcome to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Safford. Each week, we'll focus on different topics: child pet safety, child pet training, just how to make an appropriate pet selection for your family. All of these things will be covered in each one of our episodes. So we hope that you will join us at The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Diane, thank you for being with us. I had an opportunity to go onto your website and learn a little bit about this, and I hope that our listeners do the same thing, but I will forewarn them. Bring your Kleenex. This is really something very moving. How did Banfield Trust get into this?
Well, we fund a number of grants, Bernadine, throughout the course of the year for pet nonprofits all over the country. And a number of the grant requests we were seeing were for support for elderly or disabled or people who were ill and had no one to help care for their pets. So as we begin to investigate it a little bit further, you know, in terms of determining the need in the community, in each community around the country, we discovered that there was no hospice support program available anywhere. So we decided as a board to undertake the initiative, develop a program, and push it out to nonprofit hospices all over the country.
Hospice care, we would typically think of it really just for the elderly. I'm in an area that's surrounded by a senior community, And I see my clients coming in with their pets, and they are so terribly important to them. Sometimes it's the only reason why these folks seem to get out of bed in the morning, and they have something to concentrate on. I can tell my little honeys, you know, have all these aches and pains themselves, but they seem to kind of push it to the side when all of a sudden their pet has an issue, or just, you know, they want to make sure their pet is happy and healthy. Now, are you finding that it's just the seniors that are involved in this kind of a hospice situation?
Not at all. There are certainly a number of seniors that do take advantage of hospice care at end of life. But one of the things that's been very surprising to us is the number of younger people who are on hospice care for diseases that are ending their lives much too soon. And it helps really illustrate the value and importance of the program. And I'm going to just share a story that we received from a hospice in Northern California this week. The hospice nurse was actually visiting this couple and learned that the husband could no longer work because he needed to be there to take care of his wife. And as the conversation progressed, the hospice nurse noticed a very strong smell of cat urine in the home and asked if the cats were okay. And the patient let her know that they had to choose between fresh pet litter or cat food, and they chose, of course, to feed the cat. So a few days later, as the ongoing assessment was continuing, the patient relayed that they just spent the last of their grocery money on food and couldn't afford cat food with the funds that they had left. And for the first time, that hospice nurse was able to say, "Hold on, help's on the way." And a few hours later, she showed up with a huge bag of fresh cat litter, a month's supply of dry and canned pet food, and some medications that the cats needed to remain well. And the couple was, of course, overwhelmed and said, "Why would anyone do this for us? This is so touching and makes such a difference in the quality of all of our lives." So that's what this program does, and I just couldn't say it any better than that patient did.
So pet peace of mind, is it just for people that are at home, or is it going to be in, for instance, a nursing home?
It actually is designed for home hospice care. However, we do have hospice programs who are arranging pet transport visits when patients are in a facility. The volunteers will go in and pick up the pet, take it for a visit, and then return the pet home. So it's taking on a whole new aspect in some cases. And that's really what the program is designed to do. It's designed to be very, very flexible for each hospice to meet their needs. The program includes a menu of services with full instructions on how to implement each component. But hospices are always at the helm in terms of deciding which services they're going to offer within their communities.
It sounds as though hospice care itself is extremely expensive, and trying to add, you know, one more layer of care on top of this. One of my own cousins is involved in hospice care, and I see the dedication that these oftentimes hospice volunteers will have, and it can be so overwhelming, as you're mentioning, you know, this person having to choose between food for themselves or for their pet or clean litter. It's like, oh my goodness. So your group will come in. Who funds this, number one, and how do people get involved?
This is funded 100% on public donations. So every dollar that comes through our organization, it absolutely helps us. And in terms of, you know, who runs it, we actually have developed a program model that we push out to nonprofit hospices that includes, as I mentioned a moment ago, instructions on how to deploy each component of the program, plus volunteer training modules and staff training modules and every possible tool that a hospice will need to be able to train their volunteers to go in and do pet care in the home, or in the case of another hospice, transport the pet to a facility to see his or her owner.
pet therapy is such a booming area in human medicine now, in hospitals, in children's facilities, in hospice wards. And it's been fascinating to watch how it's changed. I remember it was probably 10 years ago, the thought of having a dog or a cat or a rabbit or whatever in a human hospital setting. It seemed like all of the administrators were so against this because they were afraid of bringing disease in, afraid that the patients were going to be injured by these animals. And it's really taken a turn. How long have animals been involved in hospice care? Has it just been a normal type of extension of these pet therapies?
Actually, this is a brand new approach to that very challenge and to that question, Bernadine. Several hospices have, from time to time, provided some pet care services because the patients were so distraught that their pets weren't being cared for or that they couldn't afford to get their pets' needs met, that it was a real wake-up call for their organizations in terms of, we really need a formal program, and who's doing that? So when they heard about this program, the need from the hospice community has been quite remarkable. Right now, we have 100 hospices in the pipeline that are interested in starting the program, and so we are working with a number of them to get that program off the ground. We've already trained hospices, and programs are up and running in 8 states already, so it's growing so very quickly.
You were saying that they supply, and it's very flexible as to what each individual group will do, but say in the final quintessential program, what would be some of the services? So you mentioned pet food would be one, and cat litter, something that, gee, don't really think about, but, oh yeah, the kitty needs to go to the bathroom someplace. You know, good kitties that just keep using the old litter. What else does Pet Peace of Mind provide?
Actually, Pet Peace of Mind will provide funding for any legitimate pet care expense. So when we think of consumables like medications for chronic conditions, but you know, pets get arthritis too. And as you know, I mean, you're a veterinarian, you see chronic conditions all day long in your practice. And those medications are expensive. And so Pet Peace of Mind certainly will cover chronic medications as well as flea tick treatments. And again, you know, you think about a hospice patient being confined inside the home and there's a flea or tick infestation. That makes a very uncomfortable living situation for the patient, and obviously it's very uncomfortable for the pets as well.
Very unhealthy situation, yes.
Yes, absolutely. So it covers the cost of flea tick medications, heartworm testing, and medication. So it definitely covers pet health care needs. In addition to those health care needs, though, there are some other really essential things that pets need, and their humans need them too. Pet grooming is something that's often overlooked, and especially if it was an active individual who took lots of pride in grooming the pet themselves. You know, pets need to get a bath, especially big dogs. So it covers transportation to and from the groomer. And one of the more interesting aspects that it will fund is, let's assume that a patient has a medical crisis and needs to go to the hospital for just a couple or 3 days, but they will be able to return home. The program can fund temporary boarding or kenneling for the pet so that there's no need to find another home for it or figure out what to do. It's just a simple, easy solution that a volunteer can say to a patient, hey, we've got your pet covered, or we'll get your pet to the kennel for a few days and the cost is taken care of. So it's both a hands-on approach from the volunteers doing what needs to be done and a funding approach to make sure that there's enough money to meet those needs.
So if I have a grandma who is in a hospice situation and a volunteer is coming in and my grandma's little poodle needs medication, they'll go directly to Pet Peace of Mind for medications that this pet needs, or is it through the individual hospice volunteer group? Do they get a lump sum of money?
it's through the individual hospice volunteer group, and they do get a lump sum of money. One of the things that, Bernadine, I know you see in your practice every day, is that you develop relationships both with your clients and with those pets. I mean, those pets are your pets, too. So one of the things we don't want to have happen is an interruption of veterinary client and patient relationships. So we make sure that the hospices have enough funding available to be able to get that pet treated at its regular vet and to maintain that relationship.
This just sounds like one of the most important projects that really needs to, you know, be advertised. People need to be made aware of this. How are you bringing this information to, number one, hospice groups so they know that you're available and that this trust can help them? And then how are you bringing it to the general public, the pet-owning public out there?
In terms of the hospice groups, I would love to just do a shout-out for a moment to the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. It's a national trade association for hospices, and they have been phenomenal partners in helping us spread the word to hospices in all 50 states. They've been great from the start, so thank you, NHPCO members, if you're out there doing a great job getting the word out. In terms of how we're spreading the word to the general public, naturally we count on the internet for a lot of our connections. We can reach a lot of people all at once. So we have an active website and active social media channels on Facebook and Twitter. And that helps us spread the word very, very quickly. But that's only one part of the story. The other part of the story is individuals that can see our video, they will tell other people. That has been our very best marketing tool, because the video is, it's hospice providers talking about the importance of the program and what it means in their hospices to their patients every single day. So we always love to have people out there spreading the word. So
I had the opportunity to go onto your website and watch the video that I believe it is Delana Taylor McNatt, a former veterinarian who is now, yes. Is she the spearhead of this particular project?
It was serendipity that Delana and the trust came together. Delana was actually working for a hospice in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and as we were trying to put the program together, we'd been talking with hospices all over the country, we received a grant funding request from Delana's hospice, which is Hospice of Green Country, and in fact, they were starting the program simultaneously. So we really worked closely with Hospice of Green Country to put the program model together, and then it just worked out at the end of the day that it was such a passion for Delana that she came to work as our program manager. So she is a very important individual in the program. So when you see the video, you will understand Delana's passion for making sure that this program is available and successful everywhere.
We're listening right now to Diane McGill. She is the Executive Director and CEO of the Banfield Charitable Trust, and talking about a subject that really is near and dear to my heart, because I have so many seniors as clients, and knowing that the time of their end is way too soon. So this is something very important, and I hope that everyone will continue listening, as we'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog, Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Diane, watching this video that you have on your website and the Pet Peace of Mind website, I was so taken by some of the stories that Delena McNatt had of these people, this one particular older gentleman in hospice. They brought in his little white poodle, and this little white poodle, just the tail started wagging a mile a minute when he saw Dad, and it sounded as though he hadn't seen his owner for a period of time, and then kind of snuggled up, and they were there for a couple of hours, and then they left, and that evening this gentleman passed. Have you had other stories like this where it just seems like the person was hanging on just waiting for their pet?
Yes, absolutely. Both to say goodbye, but one of the other important components of the program is helping hospice volunteers facilitate adoptions for the pets. There are many, many, many patients who hang on long, long after they should let go, because they will not go until they know that their pet has a place to go and a loving home. So we help hospices develop networks within their own communities in the pet care world to be able to spread the word and screen potential homes for pets that are going to be orphaned. And that actually is an enormous help to the patients in terms of giving them true peace of mind that they can let go and go on to their next chapter, wherever that might be, and that their pet will be well cared for and loved in a new home.
And that's so important, Diane. Thank you for bringing that up, because too often people don't write up their own wills, you know, oh, that's not going to happen to me, or it's morbid to think about, or they're afraid they're going to jinx themselves. You know, if I put my last will and testament together, that means something bad's going to happen to me tomorrow. But there have been instances. My sister was attending a wedding she's a school teacher, with the principal of her school and husband. And they had a very enjoyable evening and everything was fantastic. And the following day, my sister gets this call very early in the morning that this gentleman had a heart attack and died. Now, this is a horrible situation. There's someone in the family, because they have pets, who will be able to continue taking care of the pets. But oftentimes, the number of single people, young or old, is definitely increasing. I've seen the statistics. They're increasing. What do you do with your pet? And you think, well, the family's going to take it. Maybe they don't want your pet. So you do need to plan ahead. This is just a wonderful service that you have.
Yeah, that is a very important component. One of the stories that really hits home in terms of a patient not being able to let go until there was a home for her pets, I got a call from a woman in Florida, and her best friend was in hospice care, and they had called every single organization they could think of trying to find a home for her pets. And they couldn't find anything. They called me and said, you know, we just heard about this. We know there's no program yet in our community, but can you help out? What should we do? And perhaps not coincidentally, I knew a veterinarian in that particular community and, you know, put them together, and he ended up with the two cats, and that night she was able to pass. So it really is a matter of hanging on sometimes until that final important step has been taken to find that home for that pet. So, yeah, that's a really important component of the program. And it's one that, you know, we encourage hospices to first and foremost get the volunteer aspect of doing in-home pet care, taking care of first, and then move on to the adoption component, because the need for funding and volunteer sets of hands is very, very important in hospice care. But it also gives those volunteers an opportunity to get to know that pet a little bit and to be able to recommend the right type of home. For instance, if you've got a wonderful kitty who loves everyone, but doesn't like dogs, it's not going to be a great home to send them to a home that's got dogs, and so on and so forth. So, again, it's a great opportunity for those volunteers to know a little bit about that pet so that they can make sure that it ends up in the right type of home for really, truly being happy.
So if a listener right now says, you know, I'd love to get involved in a project like this. How can I volunteer? What can I do? So first of all, how can somebody listening get involved in Pet Peace of Mind?
There are a couple of ways to do that. First, visit the website. And the website address is www.petpeaceofmind.org. And that will take your listeners directly to our site, where they can gain a little bit more familiarity about the program, see the video, and so forth. If they're interested in volunteering, there's a list of hospices that are up and running at the bottom of that page. And, you know, they can investigate directly with the hospice. If there's no hospice in their community, they can actually send an email right off the site, and it will come to our offices, and we maintain a clearinghouse of volunteer names so that when a program gets up and running in a new community, we can look in those files and push that volunteer name directly to the hospice, and then the hospice will take it from there in terms of contacting them and training them and so on and so forth.
Are most of these hospice groups volunteer groups? It seems as though this is a very expensive undertaking to have people involved, and they need to be trained. They need to know what they're doing.
They are all volunteer groups. We fund only nonprofit hospices, and they employ, of course, not employ, but they use many, many volunteers to deliver their services. So, yes, it is all volunteers.
What a marvelous group of people and helping pets. But this does have to be expensive. So how does, you're saying that the Banfield Charitable Trust and Pet Peace of Mind is totally funded by the public, how do you solicit your funds?
We have an online donation program, of course, as all charities do. And we work closely with many corporations to actually ask for corporate funding as well. But one of the programs that we're involved in right now, for the month of April, we are participating in a national grant competition sponsored by Pepsi called the Refresh Project.
I actually saw that on TV the other day.
Ah, yes. Well, please go on and vote for us.
I did.
You're terrific. Thank you. Pepsi is actually sponsoring a national contest, and each month they are funding great ideas that change lives. And we are on there in competition for a $250,000 grant, which would fund 40 hospice programs around the country. It would get them up and running. So talk about making an impact. You know, 1 minute a day to vote through the end of April can bring comfort to someone who hasn't got much time left. So it's easy to vote. We actually have all the instructions on the website. So
you don't have to drink a Pepsi. You only have to vote online.
That's exactly right. It's the name of our program is Help Hospice Patients Keep Their Pets. That it, when I say the name of our program, that's the project name inside the Pepsi competition. So, you know, listeners can either visit our website for instructions or go directly to Pepsi's site and just search Help Hospice Patients Keep Their Pets, and the site's really easy to use. It'll walk you through from there.
Is it just adults that can vote?
Actually, anyone over the age of 13 can vote, and you don't have to be a U.S. citizen to vote. So for anyone that may be hearing this and doesn't live in the United States, feel free to go onto the site and vote. We love all voters, regardless of where they live.
And how many times a day? Because I saw something where it says I could vote 10 more times. Like, wait a minute, I thought I could only vote once.
You can vote for a single project once a day. So, for instance, when you are a registered voter on Pepsi's site, you get 10 votes, but you can only vote for one project at a time. So if with your 10 votes a day, Bernadine, you might be able to, you know, you certainly would vote for Help Hospice Patients Keep Their Pets, but then you might look around in some of the other categories and find 9 other projects that you'd like to vote for. So it really is designed as a very grassroots effort on Pepsi's part to make sure there's good support for all great ideas that help others. So yes, please do go on and vote every day.
So I don't dilute my vote if I vote for 9 other causes.
No, you don't. And
good.
There are so many worthy causes on there that it will be hard for you to pick 9 more.
When I saw this particular site and I was talking to our producer, Mark Winter, and this is a gentle little nudge for Mark, he was saying that he was going to put some information about this particular project on our website. Hopefully more of our listeners or people that are just browsing through Pet Life Radio will see it going, oh, this is interesting, and also vote for this because this is so important. Death will happen to all of us and to friends and family, and knowing that they're able to have their pets with them at the end is so important.
Yes, it is. It is. It's important to, first of all, it's important to everyone who owns a pet and, you know, has that particular family member. It's also important to families, even if you're not particularly a pet lover. When you watch the interaction between your family member and his or her pet, it is pretty special. So it's a way to support everyone involved in the process.
Well, we've been talking to Diane McGill. She is the CEO and Executive Director of Banfield Charitable Trust, talking about a marvelous project called Pet Peace of Mind. I hope that everyone goes to Pepsi Refresh. Is that the correct terminology, Pepsi Refresh Project?
It's actually Refresh Everything. Refresh Everything is the site name, so it's refresheverything.com.
And puts in their vote once a day for Pet Peace of Mind, because this is a project that touches so many people and touches so many pets. Thank you very much for listening today. We always strive to have you be the best pet owner that you can be. Whenever you have questions about your pet, the best person to ask is always your primary care veterinarian, but you can always send me a note here through the petdoctor@petliferadio.com. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you listen again next week. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.